Daily protests sweep across Bahrain despite a heavy-handed crackdown by security forces.
They're afraid of Shia. I mean, I can't help it. I'm born a Shia. My oppressed nation are Shia.
As high-profile leaders and activists remain in jail, the government intensifies its attack on the opposition.
He was slapped and punched. They threatened to electrocute him.
Just come back to the scene of the protests. Now we believe the police are still in the area. The roads are basically full of these tear gas canisters.
Many foreign journalists are denied access to the kingdom, so I entered as a tourist to investigate how the regime is clamping down on its citizens. In 2011, Bahrain had its own uprising, but it was violently put down by the authorities. Events in the country were and still go largely unreported. I'm curious to know what the current situation is, so I've decided to go to Bahrain to see for myself. I was slightly nervous as the plane took off, as a lot of risk was involved, not only for myself, but for those helping me in Bahrain. If caught, the situation for my contacts could be dire, including arrests and detention. Bahrain is a tiny island in the Persian Gulf, where a Shia majority are ruled by a Sunni minority, and the ruling Al Khalifa family enjoys good relations with its Western allies. Inspired by the Arab uprisings at the time, Bahrainis, both Sunni and Shia, marched to the now-demolished Pearl Roundabout, protesting against the Al Khalifa family's monopoly on all power. But this was short-lived, as the Bahraini authorities invited Saudi troops into the country to help crush the demonstrations. Many protesters were killed and hundreds were jailed. In the 4 years since, things are different. Demonstrations have been banned in the country, but the movement hasn't gone away. Although not as large as before, protests still continue on a daily basis in several villages across the country, and often end in clashes with the security forces.
90% of activists are behind bar, and the left are left in exile. And maybe very few, maybe I'm one of very few people who remain outside jail, who spent last more than 2 years in jail. But majority are in jail, so you have to take that into consideration, not as strong as before. Violence used by government, repression, people were targeted in their life, in their living, in their economy, in their school, in their work, in their jobs.
Nabil Rajab is a prominent human rights activist. He was recently given a 6-month sentence for tweeting against the authorities. He's been arrested and detained in the past for protesting.
Great majority of the protesters are Shia. Why they are Shia? Because they are the marginalized group. They are the target of government discrimination and repression. So that's why they are ahead of any movement or revolution.
My first stop was a funeral procession for Abdul Karim Al-Bazri, an elderly man killed in an unidentifiable bomb blast in Karzakhan village earlier in the week. I was told the event would be followed by a protest rally against the regime.
Clashes are expected to take place and police have already closed off entry to the village. They are all over the place, they're armed, it's very difficult to go outside.
The closer I got to the area, the heavier the police presence became. His death had sparked several clashes between protesters and the police just a few days back.
On my right-hand side here is a supermarket. Now, the police have dismantled the security cameras all around.
Villagers inform me the police had previously attacked them from opposite the supermarket and were planning to do the same today. They had removed the security cameras to eradicate any evidence of this. I joined the funeral procession disguised as a local to avoid raising any suspicion. Soon after, the demonstration began, and as expected, it ended in clashes with security forces. Any gathering with more than 5 people is considered illegal, and many here could face arrest. According to current statistics, 3,000 people have already been arrested and detained for participating in rallies. The police continuously fired tear gas at us, but the protesters remained defiant. The tear gas instantly burnt my eyes, nose and throat, making it very difficult to breathe. One of the protesters told me he would rather get shot than endure tear gas on a daily basis. A US-based human rights group has accused the Bahraini authorities of weaponizing tear gas. Physicians for Human Rights said the continuous use of the substance against civilians by the security forces was unprecedented in the 100-year history of its use throughout the world.
Tear gas is happening on a nightly basis in the villages. And it is, you see the tear gas is used either from far, or sometimes you see some trucks, they put it inside the houses directly. It is used as a tool, not against the gathering. It's sometimes used as a killing tool towards the people who's protesting, or towards the people who are inside their houses, only because they are from the village.
The report went on to say the use of tear gas was maiming, blinding, and killing people. Yusuf Badar is a victim of one such attack. He lost his eye after police violently attacked a memorial event he had organized for his son, Ali Badar.
خرجنا في نفس هذا التاريخ للمطالبة وصلنا إلى قريب من تمركز اللي هو قوات الشغب ضغطونا بطلقات عشوائي بشكل عشوائي وبشكل على الوجه على على الأجسام يعني الغرض ليس تفريق المتظاهرين الغرض إصابة المتظاهرين الغرض إن أي واحد يخرج مرة ثانية بيكون مصيره نفس الشهيد ومصيركم ترى أنتوا أي متظاهر بيكون نفس المصير وإحنا متعمدين الضرب بشكل على الجسم فصادتني من كثر اللي هو طلق الغاز مسيل الدموع صادتني واحدة في الوجه سقطت في نفس الوقت فقدت عيني فالحمد لله يعني مع فقداني للعين لأن هذا.
During the uprisings in 2011, 16-year-old Ali was crushed to death by a police vehicle, which repeatedly pinned him against the wall.
كانت مسيرة سلمية، يعني إحنا خرجنا تقريباً أكثر من 500 فرد بكل سلمية. نحمل الأعلام، أعلام البحرين، نحمل ورود، نحمل شعارات، شعارات المطالبة بالحرية، بالعدالة. ما كانت فيها أي عنف.
Badar told me security forces had attacked the protest without any warning.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala كاتب لي في هذا اليوم اني انا انصاب في عيني لو ما انصبت انا فخور اني انصبت في نفس التاريخ في استشهاد ابني فخور اني انا انصبت للمطالبه الى جميع الشعب.
The canister fractured his cheekbone and caused irreparable damage, completely removing his left eye from the socket. Despite his injuries, he was held and interrogated for 7 days for participating in an illegal gathering. Campaigners told me security forces have used 9 times the allowable percentage of tear gas on civilians. Until recently, the UK and US had exported tear gas to Bahrain. After the attack, many streets in the village, including the residential ones, were cloaked in a cloud of tear gas.
We've just come back to the scene of the protest. Now, we believe the police are still in the area. The roads are basically full of these tear gas canisters.
I attended several demonstrations during my stay and found almost all ended with the police heavily firing tear gas, many times at close range, at both protesters and bystanders. The Physicians for Human Rights report said that several deaths had occurred as a result of tear gas being fired directly into homes and cars, and that it was mainly the Shia community who'd been victims. Abdul Aziz Al Sayed is the most recent casualty, who died at his home in Bilad al Qadim due to tear gas inhalation. The government dismissed the report's findings, stating that suggestions that the use of tear gas in Bahrain is severely injurious or even lethal is simply not backed up by any research or proof. Despite the government's dismissal, in recent days, footage has emerged showing a young protester being shot in the face by a tear gas canister. Many of the protests I saw during my stay took place in predominantly Shia villages. How did a movement that was once made up of both Sunnis and Shias become so polarized? And where have all the Sunni voices gone? TV journalist Faisal Hayat holds the local media partly responsible.
التلفزيون هو المسؤول عن كل عمليات التحريض والشحن الطائفي اللي صارت يعني انا اذكر قصص حصلت مثل قصه قطع اللسان وقص وما الى ذلك من قصص كانت بالدرجه الاولى مؤثره في الطرف الموالي تركت عنده احساس انه تحت التهديد فبالتالي ذنب التلفزيون لا يغتفر.
Bahrain government built an apartheid system. Apartheid means separating Shias and Sunni by a house in some area where government don't want Shia to stay. You can't build a mosque in majority of the country for Shia. In fact, they have demolished a lot of mosques. Our regime is trying to present the case as it's a Shia Sunni, but it's very clear to us not to get dragged into a sectarian conflict. We have a problem about human rights, about justice, about equality, about freedom for a nation who've been struggling, ruled by a dictatorship, ruled by a repressive royal family.
كثير من الطرفين خسروا علاقات بعض. يعني ما راح أبالغ إذا قلت إن في هناك أسر وعائلات تفككت بسبب الموضوع المذهبي وموضوع الطائفي. إن الشرخ الطائفي أثر داخل في صميم الأسرة البحرينية. لا زال الكثير من الناس يتعاملون بشيء من التحفظ والحذر مع الطرف الآخر وهو ما لم يكن موجود. حاليا صعب أن نشوف زيجات مختلطة بين السنة والشيعة بسبب الظرف اللي نعيشه، الظرف السياسي اللي دخلت فيه الطائفية وكل الأمراض اللي تأثر فيها المجتمع.
I was told that many Shias felt let down by their Sunni countrymen. I was keen to get the Sunni perspective, but due to the high risk factor of being reported to the authorities, I was unable to do so. Also, my cameraman told me he was afraid to film in Sunni towns and feared the worst if we got caught. As protests continue to grip the country, I wanted to know what the underlying issues are that lead to Shias feeling marginalised and frustrated. So I went to meet Sheikh Ali Salman, the leader of the main opposition group, Al-Wafaq.
توظيف حتما فممكن يكون دكتور ولكن بلا وظيفة أو يكون بوظيفة الدنيا. النظام مصمم بحيث أن الشيعة يمارسون الوظائف الدنيا كالناسين عمال الوظائف العليا أصبحت النظام يدفع إليها أشخاص آخرين أما من أبناء الطائفة السنية الكريمة أو يستجلب أجانب.
Not all Shias in Bahrain suffer from economic hardships. There are some prominent Shia business owners, such as the Jawads, but they've been targeted in their own way. Here you can see thugs backed by the police attacking a supermarket they own. Despite the majority of the country's indigenous population belonging to the Shia faith, Sheikh Salman told me of the severe obstacles they face in practicing their religion. After the revolution, several mosques were demolished and getting permission to build new ones is proving difficult.
من حصول على مأتم في منطقة الرفاع الشرقي يسكن عدد منهم. في منطقة عراد الجديدة يمنعون من الحصول على مأتم. عدد مساجدهم في مدينة حمد هناك قرابة 40 مسجد للسنة هناك قرابة 10 مساجد فقط إلى الشيعة. في منطقة السيف حاولوا أن يبنوا لهم مسجد منعوا من بنائه حتى الآن رغم استمرارهم في المحاولة 10 سنوات بأرض من عندهم وهم يعانون من هذه الممارسات ويعتقلون لخطاب يوم الجمعة يستجوبون ويعتقلون لخطابات المنبر الحسيني.
He went on to mention that tens of thousands of Sunni foreigners had also been naturalized in order to tip the demographic balance. At the same time, the regime has introduced laws that strip citizens of their citizenship, leaving them stateless. To date, over 70 people have had their citizenship revoked, including lawyer Timur Karimi. Campaigners say the revoking of citizenship is being used as a tool to silence activists and those opposing the regime. Timur told me he was neither affiliated to any political party, nor was he politically active.
وقانون المحاماة لا يجيز للغير بحريني اشتغال بالمهنة المحاماة وكان هاي مصدر رزقي الوحيد وفي الظروف اللي كان عندي أولادي ثلاثة في الجامعة أنا كنت أنفق عليهم خارج البحرين أنا كنت أنفق عليهم غير من زوجتي كانت مريضة عندها سرطان وتعالج وكانت تعالج يعني في الظروف انسحبت جنسيتي ووقفوا عن عملي يعني في ظروف قاسية كنت وما زلت.
As the crackdowns increase, many families are publicly demanding justice for their killed sons. A number of fathers of martyrs protest on a nightly basis in their villages and find themselves being targeted and persecuted. Maki Taki is a father of 23-year-old Mahmoud Taki, who was amongst the first casualties of the revolution.
With my family, of course, they come the same others on the blacklist. They kick out from the work without any reason. My son, my daughter, three of my son, real estate, they closing my office, want me to stop and cancel my case about my son. They take me on the jail also.
He told me many of the fathers are frequently arrested without being given any reason and are forced to sign documents that result in them being charged.
They slapped me, but they told me, you have to choose. We have a big bottles to sit in and we have a churches by electric. We have also a big hose and we have two big guide to rape you. Or take your daughter to bring her here.
Police brutality is a common occurrence in Bahrain. According to Human Rights Watch, despite pledges of reform, the police continue to beat and torture civilians, including minors.
Tens of houses in a daily basis being attacked, money being stolen, valuable item being stolen by those police institutions and police personnel who have been brought from outside the country. And it is a very ugly thing when you see your country, your nation are suppressed by people who are brought from outside.
The police system is made up of mainly naturalized people from Jordan, Syria, Pakistan and Yemen, almost all of whom belong to the Sunni community. The Bahrain Center for Human Rights has accused the security forces of even militarizing hospitals and preventing people from getting medical treatment.
We have thousands of people living and the pellets in their bodies from the shotgun, and they can't even go to remove it. They're afraid government will. Thousands of people. We have tens of people who lost their eyes because they were shot in the eyes. And we treated them at home because if they go to hospital, they're going to be arrested.
Police checkpoints are also heavily deployed around the entry and exit points of many Shia villages. As I drove from the capital Manama towards the villages, the more and more it felt like entering areas that were under occupation.
ممكن عبر أي زيارة راح تشوف إن هناك نقاط عسكرية في أغلب القرى الشيعية. هنا راح تشوف نقطة تفتيش لمدخل البلاد. هذه نقطة ثابتة. وهناك نقاط متحركة ممكن توضع ليلة الجمعة أو ليلة السبت اللي هي تكثر أو نقاط توضع في أي وقت من الأوقات هذه النقاط ممكن أن يعني تستوقف السيارة ممكن تطلب يعني هوية تعريف ممكن أن تقوم بضربك ممكن أن تقوم باعتقالك وهذا حدث إلى الكثيرين من المواطنين فالقرى الشيعية البيوت الشيعية تتعرض للمداهمة بمعدل على الأقل 10 بيوت يومياً قد يصل المعدل إلى 20 و 30 في بعض الليالي، ولكن معدل 10 بيوت ليلياً.
In addition to the checkpoints and foot patrols, helicopters buzz overhead around Shia villages day and night. They film and monitor the residents below. So throughout my stay, I had to ensure my camera was constantly concealed, hence making filming outside a very difficult task.
It is very common when I sit with somebody in the coffee shop and, you know, we're whispering what we're talking to each other. We give the nicknames and try to hide what we're saying. It is. We are always the same. We are walking and sometimes you're thinking somebody's following you. You don't feel safety anywhere, especially in public places, a cafe shop or something. No, you can't feel safe.
Children are also being routinely detained, ill-treated and tortured in Bahrain, according to human rights groups. Most children have been arrested on suspicion of participating in so-called illegal gatherings, rioting and throwing Molotov cocktails.
We have seen people up to 8 to 10 being detained.
And they get tortured?
Of course they have been tortured. And the judges themselves have seen a lot of sign of torture in their bodies. Because the juvenile, when he's arrested, normally he won't go to the juvenile center. He will go to the police station where he will be tortured and forced to confess.
Such was the case for a young boy from his village who was arrested from his house and falsely accused of participating in a demonstration.
They took him into the police station. They give him a Molotov cocktail bottle and they photograph him. And he's charged now of holding or having a Molotov cocktail and using them against police. They want to put as much as juvenile or children in jail.
He went on to tell me that many of the children are kept in adult detention facilities and the government forces have detained at least 200 children to date.
I've come to Sana'a base to meet one of the youngest political prisoners of the revolution who was detained for apparently throwing Molotov cocktails.
Jihad Al-Samir, now 11, was 10 years old at the time. He was given a 2-year sentence, of which he has spent 6 months in detention.
I will not exaggerate if I tell you each and every Shia family in Bahrain have at least one person who been killed or tortured or in exile or in detention.
Still affected by his detention, Jihad was scared to speak to me, so I spoke to his father instead.
There was a march here in Sanabis and they arrested him during that. He was charged for attacking police and being in possession of Molotov cocktails. They beat him upon detaining him. He was slapped and punched. They threatened to electrocute him. At the beginning they treated them really badly. In the first 2 days he was in solitary confinement. He's a child, of course he was afraid.
His father told me that his son had responded to all the accusations with tears.
You know, they're a child, so innocent. See the way he's even shy to talk to you and to me. And imagine a guy like this. They will charge him on violence or an attack on police.
With worsening conditions and little in the way of reform, the people of Bahrain vow to continue with their struggle.
قامت نظام إنساني ديمقراطي يراعي مصالح جميع البحرينيين من الخليفة ومن الشيعة ومن السنة هو طريق البحرين إلى التقدم والتحديث والاستقرار الاستمرار في النظام القبلي لم يعد ممكن ولم يعد مقبول وهو كان مصدر إلى المشاكل دائما وسيستمر في مصدر إلى المشاكل الأمنية والاقتصادية والبحرين تحتاج إلى الاستقرار وتعاون جميع أبنائها إلى هذا الشعب الكريم المطالبة بالحقوق عملية ضرورية على أن تستمر بطريقة سلمية وصولاً إلى حقوقنا في مواطنة متساوية ودولة ديمقراطية.
Just days after giving me this interview, Sheikh Ali Salman was arrested and put on trial. The authorities have accused him of promoting political change using illegal forceful means, charges he firmly denies. His detention has led to a wave of anger sweeping across the country.
Now the change comes in my time or comes in my son's time. The defeat when I decide to stop. The defeat when my people start to stop and surrender. The victory when we are in the street and continue our struggle. And we are in the street and we are continuing our struggle. So will I'm going to see the change or not? Never comes in my mind. Never important to me, as much as we have to keep fighting for the change.